All right, and I'm here today with Keith Brown. Just a little background about what this interview is going to be about. My dad passed away a few months ago now. And something we really never got to talk about was how he was when he was younger, around my age. So I sought out one of his friends, which actually was a crazy coincidence that we ran into each other at his funeral, and he happened to be working with one of my best friends. So... yeah, just kind of take it away.
Sure can. Mark Stewart, Mark and I go way back. There was really three of us that were, I mean, we were like brothers growing up. There was myself, Mark Stewart, and a guy by the name of Paul Mansfield. And we were the three musketeers, you name it, and we were really down to do it. I mean, the thing I can tell you about Mark is he had a certain adventurous spirit about him, and you could really tell it more when he was out in, you know, camping or fishing or whatever. He loved to be out in nature, but he would also, I mean, we had a mantra when we were growing up. You know, he was really down for nearly anything. I mean, he would kind of go along and go, yeah, let's do it. Let's just do it. And his other mantra was, set me up with her. Because he would always, we were young and single, and either one or the other of us would have a girlfriend, and of course she would have friends, and so Mark was always kind of a, well, give me your number, well, set me up with her. And so anyway, not that he had any trouble with the ladies, he had plenty of dates, but he was always looking for the next best thing. But anyway, Mark and I met when he was probably a senior in high school, and Mark was a deep thinker, and kind of an idea man. He would come up with these crazy ideas. And one of the things I remember, we talked for hours one night. He says, I've got this idea about a solar-powered go-kart. And I'm like, really? A solar-powered go-kart? Are you nuts? He was like, yeah, you just put these solar panels on the top, and it's out there, you know, and it's charging the battery and all that. I said, what do you do if it rains? He said, well, I hadn't thought that far yet. Anyway, so that became a joke. It became a running joke and kind of an inside story that, you know, is this kind of like the solar-powered go-kart? And everything kind of became a solar-powered go-kart at that point, you know. So the other thing I'll tell you, Mark, he was not pretentious. He was very he would laugh at himself. And so there was a lot of situations where Paul and I'd make fun of him or whatever, and he would laugh at himself. Of course, we were all doing it. We were all goofballs anyway, but he would laugh at himself. And I really appreciated that about him, that he could, you know, make himself the butt of everybody else's joke and still kind of laugh at it. One of the things that I remember, we were all out riding around one night, being typical juvenile delinquents, and Mark had decided, we were in Rivergate, which was not quite as populated back then as it is now, but anyway, we were behind the Target shopping center area, and Mark decided that he needed to relieve himself, and so he had seen this dumpster. And he asked Paul to pull the car over there close to that dumpster. And close to the dumpster was probably 25, 30 yards away. And so he walks around behind this dumpster to relieve himself. And about that time, a Metro police officer on foot walks up to Paul's car door and says, what's going on back here, fellas? And so he asked to see ID and all that. And he could tell we were up to no good. And he said, what happened to your partner? Motioning over there to the dumpster. And we said, well, he's over there trying to relieve himself. And he just kind of stood there. He was kind of waiting for Mark. He turned his back to us. He was kind of waiting for Mark. About that time, Mark came out from behind the dumpster, not knowing that the cop was standing there. He thought it was just us. And there was a shadow that cast Mark's light against the dumpster from the street light that was in front of him. And so it was kind of like Mark was checking himself out in the mirror. He was kind of looking at his shadow and kind of shifting side to side. And we're like, oh, crap, man, we're busted. This is not going to be pretty. This is just not going to be good. So anyway, he turned around and started walking toward the car. after about a 10-second checkout of his shadow. And so he probably took 4 or 5 steps, then all of a sudden he saw this cop looking at him, and sobriety hit Mark Stewart just like that. It was lickety split. And he straightened up, he walked straight, his speech was just on point. And the police officer said, "You look good in the shadows there, do you, son?" Mark says, "Yes, sir." And he said, "All right, you boys have a good night." That's what he did. But anyway, Mark was a great guy. He was fun loving, to be sure. He loved the outdoors. We had several camping trips that he and I went on. He and I went on a camping trip. I was in natural resource management. And so one of the classes that I had, I believe, was a spring flora class. It was about this time every year. And so the department would make us go. I mean, they would physically, we would load up tents and gear and go to the Smoky Mountains just to do a hike, kind of a nature hike, and spend the weekend looking at spring flora. Or if it was dendrology, you'd look for trees. Or if it was ichthyology, you'd go to the fish, you know, you'd look for wild fish or whatever. But anyway, this particular time we were up in Townsend, and we were trying to find a campsite. And it was pouring down rain to beat the band. It was crazy. And so Mark and I had a cabin tent that slept 6. And I was, you know, and there were just 2 of us in this cabin tent. And it was a fairly new tent. And, I mean, it rained all weekend long. So everybody had pitched their tent kind of down in the camping site area where you were supposed to pitch a tent. But Mark and I went old school, conventional, and we pitched it up on, it was kind of a, it wasn't a walking path, but it was on a little bit of a knoll. So all the rainwater washed down, and we slept fine. We were dry, and everybody was envious of our campsite because, you know, of all that rain that never stopped that whole weekend. We stayed warm and dry in that tent just because we had, both of he and I had camped out pretty extensively in our lives. So we kind of knew a little bit about where to pitch tent, where not to. So that was a pretty good time. But anyway, one thing else I'll tell you, he was the kind of guy that you could come to him and just say, "Mark, I've got a problem. I need to borrow, you know, $100, or I need to borrow your car," or whatever. And he was just the kind of guy, he'd give it to you. I mean, he just was a real, he was a real giving person. And I had forgotten the story that the pastor told about their house was on fire, and at that time Mark and his second wife were trying to sell a house, and they just felt led to let this pastor live in their house. It wasn't selling, and so I had completely forgotten about that story, but that just kind of goes to show you the kind of character that Mark had. He was a crazy guy, man. I love that guy. I miss him every day.
All right, and that's just kind of, I guess, a brief overview of what my dad was like when he was my age. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, there was any number of ways I could go. Because the truth of the matter is that story is we were high as a kite and he was gone. But I didn't want to, not knowing who your listeners were going to be, I tried to keep it clean.
Honestly, well, even, like, I forgot about that story. Because, I mean, I was fairly young when they happened. And, I mean, I remember that house on Water's Edge and, like, the transition to the house that they were in now.
Yeah.
But I had completely forgotten about that.
I mean, when he told me that, I was like, holy crap, I'd forgotten.